everyone, this is Richard Morgan with episode 77 of the Magnify Him Together podcast. This is the fourth in our series on the temptations of Christ. Now, last week we had a look at how Jesus overcame his temptations. And the example that is for us to listen to the voice of God, to take the word of God, read it, meditate upon it, and understand it to be able to apply it to ourselves. And that is another of the themes of the passage which Jesus quoted in the wilderness. Why was Deuteronomy on his mind? We had a look at a number of examples from last week, but one of the key elements of Deuteronomy chapter 6 is about the importance of getting the word of God into our hearts. We can't treat the Bible as a manual or a self-help book that we put up on our shelf. And when we come to times of difficulty, we take it off our shelf, we brush it off, and we open it up, and we find a passage that applies to our situation. We can't treat the Word of God like that. Especially in times of pressure, you're just not going to have time to do that. We have to get the Word of God into our hearts, into our minds, not just through memorizing Scripture, but by understanding it and getting in tune with the lessons and the way that we can apply those lessons to our everyday lives. That when we go through situations in our lives where we see, oh, I am following Israel into the wilderness as Jesus was, and going through what they went through, having done our Bible study and meditation and so forth, we'll be able to apply the lessons. Now, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, remember, Jesus quoted from this chapter twice with two of his temptations. It says earlier on in the chapter, the most important law in the Bible is recorded there in verse 5. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. It's a key lesson of Deuteronomy. Are we going to love God, or are we going to love what the world expects us to do, or what the flesh wants to do? And then the next verse is the key to how to overcome temptation. And these words, which I command you today, shall be on your heart. Not on a scroll, not on a book. We're meant to transport those words into our hearts. And the only way to do that is by a daily reading and meditation, thinking about, studying the Word of God. Now, the Apostle Paul picks up on the principle in Romans and chapter 8. And what he does there in that chapter is he contrasts what he calls the mind of the flesh and the mind of the spirit. The mind of the flesh is the sort of attitude where when we are tempted by the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life, we give in to it. We are controlled by it. We're focused on pleasing ourselves. Whereas the mind of the spirit is about loving the Lord your God with all your heart and saying, yes, I am tempted to do those things, but I don't want to do those things. I want to do the will of God instead. Now, how do we develop that mind of the Spirit? Well, we do it by putting the Word of God into our hearts. And then God putting us into wilderness-like experiences, testing what is in our heart, whether we'll keep our his commandments or not. So that's God raising his children through instruction and through discipline. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is experiencing in the wilderness. God is both instructing him and disciplining him, as a good father does. Now, in Romans chapter 8 then, Paul talks about the mind of the Spirit, this mind that's been developed through the Word of God, through the trials God puts us through. And he says in verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. That makes sense. And then he says, what is the outcome of these two different minds? He says in verse 6, for to set the mind on the flesh is death. That's where it leads to. We can do it. It's the easy route. We'll have an easy life if we just give in to the things of the flesh. But we know that it ends in death. But then he says at the end of the verse, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Now that's an interesting term that he uses. Life and peace. Not just life, but life and peace. Now what I think the Apostle Paul is doing there is he's thinking about a passage of scripture from the Old Testament, because we get that exact same phrase in the book of Proverbs and chapter 3. Now, Paul's mind should be in Proverbs chapter 3 because it's perfectly applicable to the idea of the spiritual mind and how that is developed through instruction and discipline. That's exactly what the book of Proverbs in general is about. It's the message of a father instructing his child. It's the message, for instance, of David to Solomon, or the message of God to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at how that passage opens up. This is where we get this phrase, life and peace. Proverbs chapter 3, it starts in verse 1 by saying, my son, do not forget my teaching. That's the fundamental lesson of how to overcome temptation. He carries on, but let your heart keep my commandments. That's the lesson of putting the word of God into our hearts. And then he says in verse 2, for length of days and years of life and peace. They will add to you. So there's that phrase, life and peace. That's what happens if we put the word of God into our hearts. And then he says in verse 3, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. There's the principle of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Get the word of God inside you so that it becomes a part of the way that you think, not just a self-help book. Then he says in verse 4, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Now what follows is rather interesting. He then goes through a series of three sets of two verses each. So verses 5 and 6, 7 and 8, 9 and 10 of Proverbs chapter 3. Three sets of verses which correspond with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's kind of interesting. Look at it. It says in verse 5, for instance, the first of these little couplets of verses, it says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. And that is how to overcome the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is about trusting what your flesh tells you to do. We overcome that by trusting instead in what God tells us to do. And then in verse 7, it says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Remember when Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy in chapter 6, when in his third temptation, which was the lust of the eyes, where he saw all the kingdoms of the world and was tempted to bow down to the devil, he quoted from Deuteronomy, which says, you shall fear God. That's how to overcome idolatry. Well, that's what this verse says. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. That's how to overcome the lust of the eyes. Don't trust what your eyes tell you, what your senses tell you. And then in verse 9, how to overcome the pride of life. Instead of honoring self, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth. Give the honor, give the glory to God. Don't be proud, don't be arrogant. But glorify God instead of putting yourself on a pedestal. So we see there in verses 5 and 6, 7 and 8, and then 9 and 10, how to overcome the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what it means to be spiritually minded. We do it by getting the word of God on our hearts. And then that section in Proverbs chapter 3 ends with these words. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. There's an echo there with the voice that came from heaven. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, the father, the son in whom he delights. And that's what God was doing with his son in the wilderness, instructing him and disciplining him. Why was he doing that? Well, we're going to talk about that in our podcast next week, where we're going to see how what Jesus went through in the wilderness was training him, disciplining him, instructing him for how the same three temptations would occur over and again throughout his ministry.